Hello?
Hello?
Ugu.
Whole bunch of thumping noises.
That was me checking my mic.
We can hear you now. The Verizon guy's in the house.
Doing okay.
Keeping myself busy. Again, I think internship is picking up a bit more. And yeah.
If it does that, or next thing, it's proven. Fine lines and wrinkles. I don't think I heard.
Did we? Oh no, we just sat around. You're the one that did the thing.
Premature registration.
Went through Comic-Con registration. There were at least three people I know of that could have shown up but didn't. One due to work, one due to graveyard shift, and the third one I do not know. Although we managed to get one person in for registration, a little quick on the draw and accidentally purchased badges for themselves. I was recently contacted by an individual who volunteers at Comic-Con who may be able to help supplement in some way, but I don't know. I'm trying to work out the details. However, this is the person I got one-day codes from last year. So we'll see if they can actually help out in any degree. I'm trying to ask very nicely without making it seem like I'm begging or that I am just trying to put upon them for what they could produce. If they do manage to produce something, it would behoove us to actually put together some money and probably take this person out to eat somewhere. Let me see. I've also contacted a cosplayer named Casey that I'm aware of in the California circuit. She's from Southern California. She's agreed to do an interview on the Rolling 20s podcast. I am currently scheduled to go to WonderCon, Fanime Anime Expo, and San Diego Comic-Con. I'm also very likely to get accepted as press again for Kamikaze this year. I'm starting to get invites from people who work in the Southern California conventions to just stop by. A lack of time and a few personal errands have kept me from doing so, but it's notable that people are starting to understand that I actually do press, and they're starting to try and drag me to places. So it appears to be progressing. I've also been invited to Cosplay Day at Disneyland on the 15th of November. I would be required to pay regular admission. However, it appears to be a day that Disneyland will actually allow costumers to walk around in costume, given a few minor rules. But I was invited to come along, and they know that I'm a photographer as well. So it appears they don't want me to cosplay. They want me to document. I'm trying to think. Other than that, I think that's fairly straightforward. Brandon, I need to get the time lapses from you for Comic-Con and ALA.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just been so busy.
God, I know, man. But at least one of those has been almost a year. We should really get that put out.
I know. I will actually start on that this week. I should have some time during this week to at least set up the stuff so we can actually start rendering.
Okay, thank you.
Yo. The full status for the report I did in what, once? Oh, God, man. Ugh. It's been a hell of a freaking ride, dude. I'm telling you. In November, we got a notice to move in 90 days. And it's coming up on the force right now, and we still don't have a place to live. So, yeah, that's a whole freaking thing all in itself. Walking and all this little BS, but I'm going to try get those time lapses started at least this week. We did the Comic-Con stuff last yesterday. My girlfriend should be getting a press pass that one of our friends got last year, so she may be able to get us some inside shit on that. Let's see what else. Shoot. Not very much. Just been headaches and bullcrap for the past couple of months. Oh, not to mention my tooth pulled and the major infection I had during ALA. I never left my room the entire convention. If I knew I was going to come get an infection, I would have not even got one. You know? Yep.
Yeah. My priorities have been my internship. I did see Kingsman today, and I did, and well, I guess I wasn't kidding when I said the original story was written by Mark Miller, and it was a graphic novel. I've never read the graphic novel, but all I know is that
it's Kingsman a comic movie. Much the latest movie.
Never knew it until I just literally read up on it like yesterday. Didn't read the comic book, but I just saw it's like, looks like a pastiche of, it looks like that classic pastiche of you know, like 60s spy stuff and whatnot. So I figured like, could be appealing. I know for, other than that, really my internship has actually been my, bigger priority, and I am aware of the Facebook post you posted about reviewers having to put out like two reviews more often. So I'm well aware of that. I'm aware of that. But other than that, like, really my priority has been elsewhere. So sorry. That's pretty much it at this point.
I've been lagging a little bit behind. I have a interview on Thursday of this week. For a position.
Chip and Dale finally called back?
They did. I made wait. Go me. No, but I have a position, or I have a possibility of a position at a game company, Monarch Gaming, or Monarch Studios. They do cell phone games, things like that. My buddy works for a sister company within the company, so it's like Monarch's the umbrella company, and he works for one of them. He got me a job interview.
He works for the Umbrella Corporation?
Yes. He got me a job interview for either a customer service or community manager position, depending on how the interview goes. So I've been kind of focusing on that for the most part. Let's see what else. I do have everything from ALA processed. I need to put them up on the slideshows, which I'm actually in the process of trying to figure out exactly how to do so. I need to finish off the PAX South ones, PAX South photos. I've started editing them on. Probably about 20% done with them. Upcoming ones, I have PAX East. San Diego Comic Con, I'll be available to show up during the day if need be, as long as I'm not working. Granted, if I am in Santa Monica by that time, I may not be available for the weekend, or I may have to just crash on a hotel floor, depending on how things pan out. I'm waiting for the hotel block for Anime Expo to open on the 2nd. I already have a ticket for that. I'm going to get a hotel and then I'm going to apply for press when they open press. And if I do get a press badge, I'm going to give away my purchase ticket like I do every year now, pretty much. What else? Oh, Fanime. I've got my ticket. Oh, no, I don't have a ticket for Fanime. I might apply for press, but I really don't need a ticket from Fanime from what I saw last year. It's quite easy for me to get away without one. I can still do plenty of pictures out in the open, on the side, kind of like where I set up last year. Like if you're facing the entrance over to the left, there's plenty of areas over there. Photographers tend to end up over there anyways. So I don't really see the value for me to purchase a full-on badge, because if I'm not going inside, what's the point? that's kind of what I've come to the conclusion. Like, unless I'm actually going to be going in to go see a panel or something, I don't need one. And honestly, I don't have any real interest in panels for the most part because I don't go to them anyways. So there's no point for me to buy a badge for something I'm not going to really use. What else is there? I feel like there's something else. Got more photography gear. Yay, money! To supplement my studio lights that I have to have an outlet for, I also got a on-camera flash that I actually used the exact same model from one of my buddies who works under Art of the Con. I borrowed one of his flashes at PAX South, and I really liked it, so I got the exact same setup that he uses for that because it worked really well, which you guys will see when I get those up. And I got a bunch of stuff for private photo shoots. I got Guardian of the Galaxies. Woo! I don't know.
Oh,
I got
nice.
Nothing else, really. Yeah, I got it on Blu-ray. I was like, hey, SD cards are on sale. I need another 64 gigabyte one. Oh, I don't have free shipping yet. Hey, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm still on the wait list for my library for Guardians of the Galaxy. 400 people want to check out that one.
I wonder why. Anthony, I'm probably going to want to grab you after this, by the way, so that we can go over exactly how I'm supposed to add these galleries in.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, I mean, again, there aren't a lot of, you said it before, there really aren't a lot of nerd movies out there. I mean, I watched Jupiter Ascending. I'm hoping that that one is widespread enough to do anything. I mean, something like that. Okay. Alright. Yeah, I haven't seen them. I haven't seen it all. So. I just don't see. I don't see them on Skype much, honestly. I'm trying to. I don't think I've ever friended him.
Can I make a suggestion on that point, actually? I came up with an idea. Why don't we all get MSP shirts with, like, whatever we do, plus, like, our handle on the back? And we can, like, wear them to conventions. I mean, even if we only wear them, like, on Saturday, just one day, it's an easy way to get the name out there. And it also makes it easy for us to pick each other out of a crowd.
That would also, if we do that, though, we should also take at least one picture per convention of the all the individuals together with those shirts as both proof of where we were. as like, both sure, proof of where we were and to identify us to other people, because obviously there's a bunch of people out there who hear us but probably have no idea who we are in general.
Back south. Where the fuck did it go? Game Wisp.
And thank people, manager Evan, humane, obviously, and parents, my brother Pete, Valerie, and father, and being an actress.
I think I may have just trumped you there. I got contacted by the lady who gave me some one-day codes for last year, and it turns out she may be able to give me 4 one-day codes. So I need to – they can't be paid for until about the week before the con. That's when she's actually got them to give out. But that does mean they're in the hopper, and she said that she would give me the rest, which is 4. So that means that, Brandon, I can get you one of those. I could get Steve one of those to supplement his Sunday and then have a couple extra for maybe one for V if I can get her to agree to come, which – shouldn't be too difficult, and then one more on the side that I may have a friend set aside for, but I need to talk to her as well. Excuse me? What are you asking? I'm sorry, I'm doing 3 things at once here. Oh, that. Last year there was no resale. They had so few cancellations and returns, they decided it was not necessary. I double-checked some forums. They say that there is a framework in place where they could do that this year, but they're not expecting to. So they don't expect that to occur. The next major benchmark as far as Comic-Con will be the hotel registration on March 24th. As a supplement, the lady does seem to say that the badges, the one-day badges, are pretty much mine to do with as please. She's also offering some crash space in their hotel room. Since they're volunteers, they get it for $100 a day. They just can't afford it by themselves. And if she gets us the one days and I can get V and somebody else who agreed to go, there would be 8 of us. So a supplemental room may not be a problem.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember what the name was. There was something I had, and then I lost it.
Well, are you going to start talking about what you posted on Facebook, the one I mentioned? You mentioned something about you're going to have to do, like, 2 reviews per week or something like that? Or what was that about? For okay. So what should I? Okay, and so, I mean, first off, I do apologize for some of the reviews that I was planning to get, that I was planning to write. I'm not getting through, and I think by now both movies are like really dwindling. And even if I put the review on, it's not gonna matter. Won't be in theaters anymore. Yeah. So what should we do in the case of the really dry months? I know that you're really particular about the kind of movies that you do want to see, about the kind of movies that would draw the audience in, but when the months has got a dry spell, what you gonna do? Okay. Peggy Carter. It was the Aquaman movie.
Spider-Man.
Okay, any advice so that it doesn't seem like that we're copy and pasting IGN? I remember when I was at Crunchyroll, when they were asking me for like tons and tons of article like put out, I ended up, I mean, like sometimes I felt that because they were asking so much, I ended up like pretty much copy and pasting what Anime's News Network did, and I do not feel good about having to do that. Still sounds like copy and pasting plus editorial.
Hello? Hey. Okay, you'll have to get the others back. There's one, there's two, hey. There's three.
Hey. Okay.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was me or not. I'm going
but yeah.
Stone the unbeliever.
It was just one of those things. And FYI, I mean, like, I'll be honest, I do not want to watch 50 Shades of Grey.
I will personally come and beat somebody with a sock full of coins if they review 50 Shades of Grey. I don't care if I have to fly to Japan
to do it.
If somebody on the site does it, I will beat you to death.
Yeah, no. It's like I've met some people who actually really liked it for some reason, and I know that it's a huge cultural phenomenon that everyone is going to shut up about, and I know that it was the highest grossing movie in all of February, but still, it's like, really? This is Twilight fan fiction turned into BDSM. I mean,
what can I possibly say about it? No, that's exactly what it was.
I know it
was a Twilight fan fiction gone wrong.
Twilight fan fiction gone average,
depending on who you ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, apparently there's some pretty good fan fiction.
And yes, I do know that this entire 50 Shades of Grey thing, I know it's a trilogy. I know that they're going to be making the rest of the movies. Hell, I would even bet that the third movie is probably going to get split up into two, because that's what they do with novels these days.
I have questions about it, but I really don't want to ask them or even have the answers, frankly.
All I'm saying is that if somebody enjoyed 50 Shades of Grey, they're into rape, okay?
Mm. Yeah, well,
I'm throwing the gauntlet right now. Let's go.
And you know what? Okay, you want to know what I would actually say maybe as a counter to 50 Shades of Grey? Maybe this is something I could actually do as a comic review. You ever heard of a comic called Sunstone?
No.
It's a web comic by, let me find the deviant artist of this guy. It started off as a webcomic. It's starting to get into print. And you know what? I'm not into BDSM, but this guy does a BDSM story right. Because it's
This guy is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So, TMI, I am into it. This shit right here, this is actually what the fuck it is. 50 Shades of Grey is just fucking, I don't know what the shit that is.
Okay, and this is what I mean. It's like, maybe I'm not in the position to really criticize 50 Shades of Grey, but I heard enough about it to know it's like, this started off as Twilight fan fiction, and everyone is recast so that they don't really resemble each other, and she just throws in her ideas of BDSM just so that she could live out some sort of like, this is Edward Cullen and he's gonna be so hot and all that kind of stuff, and it became a phenomenon, and I just got this feeling, even though I've never seen it, that the BDSM community is probably either laughing their asses off or groaning because it's going to give the public at large the wrong idea about BDSM.
I can actually tell you exactly what's going on. They're actually up in arms about it. There's a large movement in the community where they are saying, instead of going, how about you just donate $50 to like a battered women's shelter near you? Like, that's their suggestion.
Oh. Not bad, huh?
I don't know how much you guys know about that lifestyle, but I'm sure we've all heard the safe words, right? Like, we know what a safe word is. Like, that
literally
is above
everything I... Yeah, it's like literally everything I know comes from this webcomic, and this is a webcomic that I read that really makes me like appreciate what that lifestyle is, rather than just say, "Oh my God, oil and leather and yee."
Yeah. So what it is 50 Shades of Grey. It's a 24/7 relationship, which is unhealthy and generally never happens ever, because it's unhealthy and will destroy you mentally. Two, he ignored the safe word. In the world of BDSM, the safe word is above the word no. There is nothing higher to make you stop than someone saying the safe word. I don't give a shit what it is. It's usually something crazy like pineapple or red light or whatever. But if somebody says that, you are immediately supposed to stop doing whatever you are and find out what's wrong. Just stop it, and if they're bound up in rope, you cut the rope off. It doesn't matter what the fuck you have to do. You get them out of the situation immediately. So the fact that actually, in the book, it's about BDSM, and he ignores that, that's just rape.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, in this particular webcomic right here, it actually addressed that exact thing that you were talking about. Hell, it's the name of the safe word is the name of the webcomic, and it actually addressed that this one time in which she didn't unbind someone, in which one of the characters didn't unbind someone else, even though she used the safe word, because if she did unbind her, it would be very, very dangerous.
Yeah, that's an extreme situation.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, it's like, point is, like, I've read this, and maybe it might be some way I could actually fill in the void of 50 Shades of Grey. I could probably say something, or, you know what, maybe you're, I don't know, like, you know what, Cassio, maybe you're more inclined to actually have a better perspective about this, because like I said, everything I know about BDSM actually comes from this comic.
Is actually a really good crash course in it, I won't lie. I've been reading it for a long time.
Okay.
Pretty much since it started. It's a really good crash course in it. Obviously there's in and outs in it that about the lifestyle that aren't covered, but for the most part that hits the main points.
Okay, so I can say without any irony or I could say with full confidence that you want a good BDSM story, read this. Don't watch 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh fuck yeah.
Okay.
I've linked that to some of my friends who are into it, and they fucking love it. Like, they're like, yes, this fucking makes sense. Holy shit.
And actually, you know what? When I read this particular comic, I never saw it as like, oh my god, it's a BDSM comic. Nah, it's a romantic comedy that just happens to have BDSM as its central plot line. But no, it's all about those two.
Which is how it's supposed to be. BDSM isn't your life. It's just something that you do with your life.
Right.
Anyone else feel uncomfortable?
I know that.
I can feel Anthony's like,
I only mentioned it.
We can stop now.
Yeah. I only mentioned this because in my local comic store, I actually noticed that volume one is out, is on print right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know when the other issues of that are going to come out, but it's something like worth noting. And I don't know how young our viewership is. That's the other thing too. So I might have to plaster a big fat warning.
Very, very well. If we have a way to do an age gate, that'd be awesome. First off, If we don't, then we just need to make it very clear that this article and what contains in it is for those who are 18 years of age or older. Please do not continue reading beyond this point if you are not in that criteria. And maybe add in the fact that this does touch on BDSM, and if you're not comfortable with that general subject, this may not be the article for you.
I know that when it comes to the nerd community, you get kids as young as 11, and that's not something they should really be knowing about unless they have the maturity to handle it, which generally speaking they don't. I know 21-year-olds that don't have the maturity to handle that. The big thing that I have noticed too is that sometimes with some sites, maybe it's more prominent with gaming sites and other, other channels that deal with this, but sometimes because journalists want to get the story out as soon as possible. I've seen some journalists like take a tweet, which is a rumor, and then run that as a news story, and that spreads, and then chaos happens, and then finally they find out that, oops, the tweet was wrong. It was just a tweet, and all that panic and hype was for nothing. I'm not going to be responsible for that. It's also tough when if they're talking about like a big company and there's no way you can contact the company to actually confirm or deny the rumor.
Depending on where it comes from, if it comes from somebody that's actually with the company, just direct message them and ask them for, you know, hey, would it be okay if I talk to you? Do you have an email I can message you at? You know, introduce yourself as being from a website. And if they don't respond, they don't respond. Oh, well, life goes on.
Yeah.
And if they do tell you to contact them, make sure you get their actual, like, company email. That way you can confirm it.
Okay. Copy and pasting.
The key is to make sure we just don't plagiarize. We have to reframe it into our own phrase work. You know, that is still technically researching. Mm-hmm. We just can't log someone else's story as our own. You know, Brian Williams got his ass slapped for that. What do you think would happen to us?
Right, yeah. But it's like another layer to that is like I was saying before, you ever seen those YouTube videos that basically have some sort of clickbaity title for a video, and then it's just some guy talking into the camera saying that, like, so this is the video, you can look at it on my YouTube, you can look at it on link below, this is what I feel about, I think it's really cool, all that kind of stuff. Happens every single time I see something like an Avengers promo come out, annoys the hell out of me. It's like,
yeah,
it's
but
like,
that's how
so
they get
guys,
advertising
just
clicks
new
and
Avengers
they make money, you know, that's the thing.
I know, but I've seen it done wrong so many times. I've seen it done wrong so many times, and especially from people who think that all they really have to do is like, hey, I just have to put a link to this super popular trailer around here, and then just record my face talking about it with no script, no sense of voice, no ways to present the camera, no speech classes whatsoever. I don't know.
It's no worse than the reply girls.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah. Oh, Christopher's asking if he can get in.
We have to have a plan. That's the first thing. And I think the first part of it is to actually get a WordPress site running, and make sure that the whole thing imports. But if we want, we can start with getting the WordPress site up and getting, after everything's imported, and getting an actual someone to actually get design in there, or copy the design from and actually put it into WordPress as a theme. The whole point is to do it properly, so that when WordPress is upgraded, we won't have any conflicts. We'll have to modify the site, because that's the biggest problem with WordPress, is that if you have add-ons that are exploitable, the whole server can get compromised. Your entire site can get compromised. So having it upgraded, always upgraded to the latest version, is key. So you have to make sure that the themes are correct, all the add-ons are correct. But once everything is done and properly, it works beautifully. I do know that there are some a guy that I know that actually hosts WordPress sites for a living, but it's very it does cost a lot of money in order to host. So I mean, that could possibly be something we could move into at a later time. But I think I just need to get some time in the next couple of weeks to actually get a WordPress site up and start getting everything imported and see how it works. See if we can actually get everything imported correctly. If not, I have to create my own script in order to actually go on the site and pull everything. Not necessarily. We don't have to be forced to have design ready before we actually start doing the testing and importing, because basically the first thing we need to do is make sure that we can get everything imported without a problem. So once we know that we've got everything imported correctly, then that would allow us to just go ahead and flip the switch. Get the design working, everything like that. We import the entire site again for the final time, and then do the switch. But obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on in the back end on the site that we need to actually go through and make sure that all the content, all the galleries, all the files are all copied over correctly into the WordPress system, and that may take some actual custom coded script in order to do, because the way that Weebly is coded, the site is kind of complicated in a way. So yeah, it's gonna take some fooling around. So it may take me a couple of weeks in order to get everything copied over and properly and everything like that. With that said, we need someone that can that is good at WordPress themes to actually copy over our current theme, what website for the time being, or get a new one in WordPress made before the switch. I mean, worst comes to shove, I can ask my friend Eric to take the current design that we have now and just put it into a WordPress theme, because he works with WordPress themes all the time. All it is just copying and pasting the design into WordPress, and he can probably basically do it really, really, really quickly. You know, he'll probably charge us a couple hundred dollars to do it, but, you know, it would be a fast and easy way of just getting it done. Or have someone make us a design, and he can go ahead and cut it up into WordPress theme, and we can use it.
I think we need to work on upgrading our stuff in the nearest possible sense. It would make more sense to relaunch with something a little more utilitarian now, and then represent everything if we find a graphic designer later.
The fact that we can actually get links back to the site automatically, and that whole functionality of linking to other articles, stuff like that, in each post is really valuable. It does add a lot of cross-clicking. So when someone links to one of our articles on another site, it actually on another WordPress site, it automatically does a talkback thing and actually shows up on our site. Or on their site saying that the link is there. So that kind of functionality is also cool to have.
Sorry to backtrack a bit, but just to let you know, technically speaking, the webcomic I'm talking about, the print version of it is releasing slowly, but on the web, it's like practically up to like volume 4, I think. Do you want me to like wait until the prints come out, or because web comics already out there, should I just like do it like that? Right.
And you're going to want to link back to his DeviantArt anyways, so you might as well do the digital one and mention that it's coming out in physical print.
Well, I was actually just looking up I was looking up Amazon to see how it's being released. It looks like Volume 1 is already out. It came out in January. Volume 2 ain't coming out till May.
Just go ahead and read through what's online, because all you're doing waiting for print is getting behind the eight ball as more stories being released anyway.
Yeah, okay. All right. The print version's only going to have, like, upgraded art, more or less, but that's it.
Well, that's something to integrate into the review. You've reviewed all the story that's available by following the webcomic, but you've taken a look at the print version that has updated art, and then you can talk the differences between the two. That way you have a complete article instead of just half of one while you're waiting for stuff to actually hit paper.
Gotcha. All right, thanks.
I'll jump in while you think then. If he's willing to make you one, if he wants to make one that's specific for League of Legends, I could use that. Once I am able to get a little bit more stable with everything that's going on in my life, I plan to stream more, and I can definitely do an overlay with MSP, no problem. I use an overlay as it is. It's just a generic Razer one because I use a bunch of Razer gear.
Holy shit. Sorry, I've been...
What?
I don't watch the Oscars. I just follow the winners to find out who won what, and Birdman beat out American Sniper for Best Picture.
It's because American Sniper's been going a lot of back and forth in the press.
Very likely.
That, and you have to remember, too, the Oscars are all based on voting within the community, so...
Oh, I know. That's why I don't watch these shows, because it's just industry glad-handing itself.
Yeah.
Same reason I don't watch the Grammys. Funny. Same reason I don't watch the Tonys. You know, shit like that.
Funny that even though Lego Movie got snubbed from the animated awards, they did allow it to actually open for the Oscars.
Yeah, but it didn't even win for. Yeah. I don't think it won anything this year. It didn't even win for its own song.
The only thing it was nominated for was Best Original Song, and that got beat out by Selma.
Yep.
It's like everything about the Oscar. I just find it hilarious that like the stuff that the Oscars will always pop out is very rarely the movies that will be studied relentlessly in film class decades from now.
I don't know if I count the Lego Movie on that list. It, you know, even though it was computer animated very well, it's a very base style of animation.
What I'm saying is that that we all know that there is an Oscar movie formula, and we all can recognize Oscar bait a mile away, and a lot of times Oscar bait, and there are times which Oscar bait movies are sometimes the ones that kind of get lost in obscurity and get rerunned on TNT once the hype has died down and a few years have happened and then nothing like that happens. Whereas some other weirder movies are the ones that become cult classics, or the ones that influence directors, and are the ones that are endlessly dissected by film students.
Skype hates him. I need a couple things from you, like, right now.
Hello.
Oh, there you join. Never mind. We can wait then.
Yeah, you know, it's only an hour and 10 minutes after the fact. Well, I was at the cosplay gathering with, well, I actually can't see who the Huck's in this group right now. Holy shit. Okay. If Ramen was here earlier, he and I were both over at the cosplay gathering yesterday. So we can actually talk about that. Just considering the way that the event unfolded, I didn't bother getting pictures, and I'm going to get all the photos from Sky, the guy who organized everything. And he said if we could share that content, then it would be cool. So that means less work for me and also providing content. So, you know, two birds with one stone. So there is that. As you saw in the updates that I made on the Reset Gaming page, everything's finally all sets. We have recordings up and running. We have we're able to play GameCube games, and there are no hiccups when it comes to the graphics quality, and we have everything's working just fine. The only things that we have to do are to edit the half hour of content that we actually have. Spencer and I are going to be meeting up later this week, and we're probably going to get about 2 or 3 hours worth of recordings in. And then that can be broken up into, well, based off of how many hours we're recording will be how many weeks we can get content for. So thankfully that's all neatly broken down. No worries. And it's either today or tomorrow I'm going to be doing an introduction video to let everyone know who's been following the Facebook page that, you know, we have everything squared away and we can get stuff started. Cool. So, I mean, you know, totally out of order and everything like that. What did I primarily miss in this past hour?
Everything.
I know.
Okay. So like Gamergate and otaku culture and shit like that.
Yes, I heard of that. So let me ask you this. Do you think that TwitchCon is going to be a more Twitch user based or Twitch business people based? That's the big question. It's like, okay. Okay, right. So, I mean, like, sometimes I do ask this because especially given the track record of conventions in San Francisco, they tend to be a lot of the conventions I've seen, at least in the Moscone Center especially, except for WonderCon, they've all been the kind of ones in which business people go to a lot of the time. So not a lot of young people, lots of, like, business stuff going on. Even when it came to down to GDC, I've often heard that. I've been to GDC once, and I've often heard that in case of GDC, that was like, it's like, yeah, there are actual gamers and actual game developers in there, but half the people at GDC, they're all the business guys that just want a piece of pie. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, sure, yeah.
Well, if the Twitch party is any idea what it's going to be like, it's a lot of drunken gamers. A lot.
Oh, so ALA, okay.
No. Okay, I was at the PAX South Twitch party. ALA was tame compared to this shit. I had somebody come over to me. He was so sloshed, he was literally holding on to his own knee, only one of them, and my shoulder, and looked like he's about to hurl while he explained to me how he wasn't a bad guy. He's so sorry that he's doing this to me. It was the weirdest shit ever. And he was one of the more sober ones. Like, fuck.
Man, I shared you the link where the one of the supposed board members of Anime Expo was poo-pooing all over the idea.
Poo-pooing over the idea of what?
He thought the idea of a TwitchCon, its location in San Francisco, and its particular dates were all bad ideas, and he didn't see how it was going to work.
Okay, well, San Francisco makes sense because they're based there. TwitchCon makes sense because it's fucking Twitch, and God knows how many people actually use that site daily. And what's wrong with the date?
How should I know, man? For all I know, this guy's closer to my age group and so far out of touch, he has no idea why this is even happening.
Honestly,
I'm 38. I'm approaching 38, and I'm sitting there going, TwitchCon? Why the hell not? People are using it.
Here's my question. This is a guy from Anime Expo, right?
Well, he identifies himself as Anime Expo in the comments on the IO9 forums. He says, in full disclosure, I am a board member from Anime Expo,
so
which already makes me skeptical.
Convention. This is the same convention that is on the same weekend, is on like the weekend after San Diego Comic Con? Or is it the same
weekend before?
Weekend before. My bad.
It's the weekend before this year.
San Diego Comic Con and Anime Expo are like back to back. Because that seems like a good idea.
Well, they don't consider it a bad idea because, according to them, it's two different fan bases.
No, it's not.
I'm tired of anime fans
telling
me. And again,
it can't be any worse than DashCon.
Yeah, I'm tired of anime fans telling me that it's two different fan groups. It's all the same goddamn fan group. It's comic books.
It physically can't be any worse than DashCon. It's impossible for it to be worse than DashCon.
It's probably going to be more entertaining than DashCon just based on it being in San Francisco.
I hope they take a room and just make it into one big ball pit. That needs to become a tradition somewhere.
Yeah, didn't Amazon buy them for like, what was it, $1 billion or something like that?
It was,
did we already get the people who are yelling sellout?
Yeah, because I heard it was something. It was a B. You know, I didn't know.
By the way, Anthony, sorry about all the Facebook messages. I finished the show we taped yesterday as well as the one prior, so they're both in your Facebook inbox now.
In September of 2014, Twitch was acquired by Amazon.com for $970 million.
Oh, well, so they have the money to do whatever the fuck they want. Never mind.
Yeah, they can kind of just throw shit. They can just burn money. Fuck it.
Of course. They'll make it back in their first movie. I mean, shit.
They're not going to make a ball. They're not going to make a ball pit. They're just going to throw money into a room and just go swimming. Fucking Scrooge McDuck style.
Maybe that's what TwitchCon is. The executives from Amazon said, how do we entertain ourselves? I know. Let's put a building full of nerds together and throw money in and see who lives.
Now fight. Doors will remain locked until only one remains.
The window gets free pizza.
And behind them all is a CEO just stroking a white cat. Yes, this sounds like an excellent idea. I'd be interested in going, but I've already put a big stretch in getting the first half of this year through.
For the record, I just posted a document that is basically go get your goddamn photo, go get your Adobe CS2 suite. I don't want to hear anyone say how they don't have Photoshop or After Effects or any shit like that. I just gave it to you.
CS2,
huh? It's CS2, completely free. All you have to do is have an Adobe account. I can't make this any easier, people.
Okay, that works for me, shit.
Like, you don't have to go out and get CS6 or get 5, you have fucking 2 free of charge, and you know what? Everything that's in CS6, probably in CS2 to some degree. See? See? It works fine, right? You don't have to be like me and have a fucking copy of CS6 because you fucking hate everybody.
Yeah, well, I'm downloading the CS2 right now.
I mean, nowadays, Adobe wants to push the Creative Cloud on you. Pay 80 bucks for all that. Per year. No, per month, actually.
Oh, and this is for both Mac and Windows users. So, really, no excuse.
Well, but what if I have Linux?
Well, then you're a faggot and need to die. Yeah, I said it. We're all thinking. In it. Why don't you go reboot into Windows?
Yeah, Linux, no, I don't.
Linux is only acceptable if you're using it for a server. Okay, if you're using it for a server, I will allow. If you're not, and if you're using it for a server and using it as a computer, you're fucking idiot.
Wes, you know what? I was just like looking at the link that one of you guys posted down here. Does this mean that there's going to be conflict of interest now?
Oh, yeah. I posted a link in the Skype chat. One of the abridged, DBZ abridged voice actors is actually going to be in the new DBZ game.
Yeah, now, I saw that article.
He's not voicing a character. Apparently, he's just like the character select guy. But still.
Well, he's going to be like one of the voices you could pick for your male character. What I'm a bit worried about, and I've never really gotten to talk to other voice actors or actresses about this, is that if this happens, then does this mean that there's going to be a conflict of interest? Because he's voicing one of the major characters in Dragon Ball Abridged. That being said, he's now in official Dragon Ball media, and I do not know if this is a conflict of interest.
I don't think
how would this be a conflict of interest?
I mean, is he selling something DBZ Abridged?
I don't think so, but the fact that I don't know. I keep hearing that, like, I guess from the studio side versus the fan side, is that the official studios can't officially acknowledge the fan work, but they can't.
They don't
really
have
deny
to.
The
All
fa-
they're hiring him to do is be a voice in a video game. If he doesn't reference DBZ Abridged at all, it's not a conflict of interest. It's just another job.
Exactly. I mean, it's on his resume. If somebody looks him up, it'll be there. But that doesn't mean. I mean, it's like saying, "Well, you worked on Castaway. You can't work on this." I mean,
it's just like you were Pepe Le Pew. Therefore, you can never be Scrooge McDuck. That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
No. I mean, like, I know some voice actors that kind of try to distance themselves from trying to help out in, like, even big name fan stuff, because now they've become professional, and I don't know, some sort of weird conflict of interest happens, because if you voice a fan thing that references a character that you're best known for, then there could be trouble. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. So here's the real conflict of interest there.
No,
that's
more hipster fan BS. You know, if you go mainstream, therefore I can't follow you.
They don't pay enough to do the fan, get paid enough to do the fan stuff. So therefore, why would they do it? That's really what the conflict of interest. You can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes. Conflict of interest is.
Yeah, but I remember. Well, Well, I even remembered, like, for example, League of Legends panel, they were saying that they can't really indulge the fandom because the characters that they voice really don't belong to them or something like that. So, you know, well, you go to a convention with voice panels and they would ask you.
Yeah, that means they won't do quotes as the characters they've been hired as. That would be that wouldn't be a conflict of interest. That would be working without a contract. That's something completely different.
Okay.
That would also be borrowing licensed characters for other people's shit, which would be a complete no-no in a lawsuit.
No, sometimes they can get away with small things like, hey, can you record a greeting on my cell phone, you know, inbox message, my greeting? Something like that, yes, they could probably get away with. I know a couple of voice actors who do, but for the most part, they're not going to do the voice for something like, if he was like, oh, well, I'm the main character in this fucking new DBZ anime that came out, or Bridge decided to go into it, he could not do that voice again. His contract would not allow him to do that voice again.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry for the sidetrack. Okay.
I do have one announcement that has nothing to do with the website, really. My website for my own photography should hopefully be up in the next couple of months. I'm having my graphic artist friend, she's going to learn how to do a couple things in WordPress because she needs to do her own website over, and then we're pretty much going to do my website after that. And I'm still working on getting that email address up and running, Jeremy.
Okay.
I should have it up before we do AX.
That's fine. I haven't opened that particular door yet because I'd like to get past WonderCon before I try.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, I've got a bunch of other shit. Like, I mean, I have Fanime coming up. That's going to be fucking huge. If the amount of pictures I took last year of Fanime is any kind of indication, I'm going to be fucking swamped.
Give me a guideline now so I know how I need to work this. Do you want one an hour or in shorter time frames than that?
I can do one an hour. One an hour works for me because it gives them some time, and that way if it does end less than that, it's easier for me to work in. I can probably do groups. I'd like to stay under groups of two, or like two groups of two at the most, because groups of two in an hour isn't bad. And they can do $5 each, whatever. I'm just doing $10 for the time slot period.
All right.
If it's anything more than two people, if they want to do three or above, then that's a special circumstance I'll have to go over and kind of figure out.
Okay. All right. I'm sure I can make arrangements. That should be fine. I'm sorry. I know we're trying to wind this down, but everything is really happening fast right now. I got another message from my volunteer contact within Comic-Con. You know what? I'm going to hold on to that because I don't think I want that recorded. She's telling me some rather confidential stuff that I don't want on any sort of record.
Cut the recording there.
Sorry?
Cut the recording there. Just mark the spot.
Well, I saw a couple things to mention, but I'll wait until you're done. Oh, yeah. So a couple things. One, in regards to that same meeting segment, do you know if you're going to have anyone who's already been a part of the West Coast meetings join in just in case? Or is it just going to explicitly be just between whomever's in the East Coast and then you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. second thing, SatCon is going to be coming up on March 1st, and of course, I'm planning on going to said convention. The only problem is, considering my little debacle with Dan, I don't know if I'm going to be allowed on the premises.
Honestly, I think you should show up anyways and record it if they tell you no. And record them while they're telling you no and why they're telling you no.
Wait. What's this about?
Oh, so... mind if I go over that one? Okay, so Anthony and I, we did our recording about SAC Anime, and this was for January, and I said, you know, that there were a lot of really bad and negative things about it, but there were also positive things. Like, and I even told Dan himself that if I didn't like the convention, I wouldn't have even brought up the positive aspects of it. I just would have just been talking shit the entire time. But that's beside the point. What's it came down to was, Dan, the owner and director for SAC Anime, he got really pissed that I criticized his oh-so-precious convention, and as a result, he sent me a 12-paragraph email taking every single one of my the points that I made where the con was, you know, deficient or bad on, and was telling me that I was wrong for saying what I did. And... then, as a result, Anthony and I did a second SAC Anime podcast where we went and said, okay, so I got an email, and I can't remember if we directly said that it was Dan that had sent the email or whatever, but... well, because it was... but anyway, moving on. So, we had that... extra, like, it was 52.5. That was the episode, right? Was it 52 was SAC Anime Summer or Winter? SAC Anime Winter, that was episode 52, and then the redo was 52.5, right? Yeah, but the, some other weird tagline, but whatever. Anyway, so David Wadley, the press director for SAC Anime, SAC Con, and stuff like that, he ends up sending me an email, and this was almost a month ago, where he said, yeah, so, you know, we're doing an investigation. We need all the correspondence between you and... it was like, oh, shit. And,
all I have to say is fuck that guy.
Hence,
well, yeah, because he's an asshole.
Wait, wait, wait. Hence why you might be banned from it for life.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I still want to go to SAC Anime. That's the thing. And
well, dude, I don't like Anime Expo, and Mark Perez knows who I am personally. I still go.
Fair enough. Yeah. Then I have something to talk about. Okay, and another thing that I wanted to bring up just on that same note is that with Dan, I mean, as some of you might know, he has a complaint folder that's like 4 inches thick. And yeah, and I mean, lists complain from verbal assault to sexual harassment and everything in between and then some. So, needless to say, like, you know, he is not a good person by any means, and if he can get canned from his own convention, and I mean, sure, they're going to end up having to find a new owner and everything like that to, you know, keep things going, but I think if he gets fired, it would allow more room for change to make it a better experience for the fans. It could be worse, but, you know, then again, it depends on who the hell they're getting as an owner.
Because we're not making demands at all. I want $50,000. He didn't get paid. Actually, that one's actually not totally unreasonable. No, you're not. Don't lie. Don't lie.
In my case, like, if I had, you know, if I was bringing up a personal demand, I'd just say, just give me free parking at a hotel for the 3 days, and I'll be good. And yes. Yeah, because, let's face it, like, not quite. I also had something to do with my Let's Play segment, which... That will be my last point. Regarding SAC Anime, SAC Con, and everything in between, I'm just hoping that eventually, you know, hoping that Dan gets the axe. If not, then, well, I mean, I have nothing against him personally, aside from the fact that apparently he's not exactly friendly to people of different sexual orientations, but... And several other things, but I don't want to just go off on a laundry list of that. So March 1st should be the make or break points where I figure out whether or not I'm still allowed at Sacramento conventions in the area. And if not, well, I mean, that's something that will be brought up to have something fixed. And last but not least was my Let's Play channel thing. So, as it stands, we have everything working. We have streaming up and running. We have basically everything that you can think of, we've got taken care of. The issues that currently stand before me is I'm probably going to need to find just a video editor because Kevin, while he will be able to edit quite a bit of the videos, he also has a full-time job and a kid, and I mean, that really takes away from the overall amount of time that he can put towards editing or stuff. It's more like providing some censoring and, you know, stuff like that, because the first two episodes, in hindsight, are super inappropriate. For example, we'll put it this way. We're playing Time Crisis 2, and everyone insisted, yeah, let's go ahead and go with some really racy, derogatory, well, not derogatory, but just... You know, inappropriate, can't post that on YouTube, quality names, and just...
They'll be gamers.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. They were being gamers.
Yeah, so, like, one of my friends, he used the name Bitch Cunt for his character. I had to use an app for Sniff. I had to use an acronym for crotch sniffing fetus fucker. You know, stuff like that.
It was a good day had all around.
Yes, yes, it was a good time, except for the fact I couldn't fucking see what was going on in the screen. But anyway, it's just that, like, you know, putting a black bar here and there, you know, bleeping out a couple words. I mean, there's nothing that's, like, racially insensitive or sexually offensive aside
from... I'm slightly offended that there's nothing racial or sexual offensive in there. Just saying.
Okay. As Raman and I were talking over at the gathering, we sort of decided to do individual recordings for those two, but from here on out, we're going to be splitting it up into like an hour and a half long segments, and we're just going to have, you know, like where it's 10 or 12 minutes in and say, okay, so, you know, thanks for watching this episode, and we'll see you next time, and then just do a cut. And then just get ready for the next one. So, yeah. I mean, that's basically it. Those were my concerns. I need to get that editor service in. And I should be good after that, I think.
I make no promises about March 8th because I'm coming back from PAX East. It's that weekend. 8th is the Sunday that it ends. So I can't make... I mean, I might be able to make it. I don't know because kind of everything's up in the air with PAX East right now because of the fucking snowfall that has been happening.